you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
LAist Studios.
Hey, what's up, Hot LA listeners? Today, we're coming to you from the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books, aka the Coachella Fest for readers, authors, and vendors. We're here repping Hot LA at the LAist booth in the middle of the commotion on the campus of USC. We had the chance to speak with some dope local authors about their work, about Los Angeles, and how it all connects for them. Coming up, you'll hear from Hector Tobar, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and novelist. He's the author of books like Deep Down Dark and The Barbarian Nurseries. And his latest, Are Migrant Souls? It's a personal book about the meaning of Latinidad.
This is a city of diasporas, of many, many journeys that have come here to this place.
Also, Michael Arsenault, he's the New York Times bestselling author of I Can't Date Jesus, I Don't Want to Die Poor, and his latest book, I Finally Bought Some Jordans. Michael is originally from Houston, but now calls LA home.
I think LA is just, I don't know, it's keeping a lot of my dreams alive in ways I didn't think.
And I spoke with Amy Price. She was a former general manager of the notorious Cecil Hotel in downtown LA. We spoke about her new book, Behind the Door, The Dark Truths and Untold Stories of the Cecil Hotel. In this episode, you're gonna hear from Hector Tobar. And in part two, we're gonna get into it with Mike Arsenault and Amy Price.
Support for LAist comes from Latino Theater Company at the Los Angeles Theater Center presenting American Mariachi by Jose Cruz Gonzalez. It's the 1970s and women can't be mariachis. Or can they? American Mariachi is a feel-good comedy about familia, amor, and tradición that will send your heart soaring and put a bounce in your step with a wave of vibrant, infectious live music. On stage through June 9th, tickets and information at latinotheaterco.org.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
And we're back. I'm Ryan De Los Santos, the host of How to LA. Today, I'm really excited to bring you some great author interviews from our day at the LA Times Festival of Books. Right now, we're going to talk with Hector Tobar. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and novelist. His latest book is Are Migrant Souls, A Meditation on Race and the Meanings and Myths of Latino. Hey, Hector, how are you doing?
Hey, great to be here.
So, I read somewhere, not sure if it was a self-description that you wrote for someone, but that you are a son of Los Angeles.
I am.
I love that. Explain that to me.
You know, Los Angeles is its own thing. It's like a country unto itself. You know, and so you grow up in LA, you grow up in a car or on the bus. You grow up among people of many different languages and heritages. I grew up in a really optimistic time. But also in a place that has a lot of injustice and inequality, people who fight and struggle. So I'm very proud to be from LA, and I'm proud to tell people that I'm from LA.
That makes two of us here.
Yeah.
You've written several books, novels, and nonfiction works. Tell me how your latest book sets itself apart from your other work. To me, Our Migrant Souls feels a personal, like a conversation between you and other Latinos.
Yes.
And how others see us, and also how we see ourselves.
Well, yeah, you know, people are really kind of confused about where Latino people fit in this country. And obviously, there's a lot of really hateful rhetoric about us, that we're dangerous, That's why they're building walls. There are some people who want to build the walls even taller than they are already. And so those walls are kind of like a big wound in our souls. And so I wrote my book to kind of explain to people why that wall is there, why there are hateful ideas about us that are spread in the media. And also to explain, you know, what we have in common. You know, Latino is this term that includes Mexican-Americans and Puerto Ricans and Cubans. And, you know, what do we have in common? Well, we have in common a story of a journey or of an empire. You know, either we had to cross a border or a border crossed us. And that's a beautiful thing, to share a journey with a group of people, to share that story. And so I wrote my book so that we could feel strong from that story and not think of it as this traumatic, dysfunctional thing that's part of us, but instead of this prideful, joyful history of struggle that we share.
Yeah. I want to share something with you. We actually come from, you were at the LA Times for a while.
Yes.
My whole lifelong dream as a immigrant undocumented kid was to work for the LA Times. And the reason why I wanted to work for the LA Times was because I was reading a column one back in the day in the 90s, and they used the word illegal alien.
Wow.
And so I talked to my parents about it, and I'm like, hey, what does this mean? They didn't speak very well English, but They're like, this is how the world sees us. This is how Americans sees us, you know? And from there on, I'm just like, I want to write in English, and I want to talk to people about our stories. And, you know, reading your book, you kind of reflect on how many people, share the quote-unquote Latinidad experience, but we all have very different paths. Like, from me being undocumented from Mexico to my close friend who is, like, third-generation Mexican-American, we're not the same, right?
Right, right.
We don't view the world the same. And you also kind of, like, question the terms Latino, Latinx, Hispanic. Can you share your thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, you know, as you know, being Latino means, it can mean that you're white with green eyes and blue eyes, and or it could mean that you're black, or it could mean that you're moreno, mestizo. And so Latino as a term, it kind of erases the indigenous and African parts of us because it's a European term, you know, means like a Romance language. Latin means that you have these roots that go back to Rome, essentially. And that's only a part of our heritage. And so to me, that's, it's that erasure is harmful. At the same time, it's a term of an alliance. It's kind of a term that brings us together, you know. We're a couple of people from LA, one guy's from Puerto Rico, another guy's from Mexico, guy's from El Salvador, I'm from Guatemala. We sit down to dinner together, and that's now a Latino dinner, you know. Yeah, and I think that so much of the terms that surround us, like undocumented or illegal alien, you know, and also the categories, all these things, we end up talking more about the categories than we talk about the human beings. And I think when we think about the categories, we need to think about the politics behind them, right? The creation of a term illegal or undocumented, that the creation of that category, it's about power and it's about making wealth off the labor of undocumented people. So I think that, you know, bringing all that out into the open is the big mission of my book.
Tell me how your family's journey coming from Guatemala catapulted a form of understanding or even research for this book. And really now your role in media, you know, as a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist to now like an author of several books.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I grew up reading a lot. My father always told me that books were special. They enriched us when we read. I discovered later that his own mother was illiterate, and he was very, very ashamed of that. And so becoming a writer was a part of kind of defending our people, you know? And I never thought, though, that I could be a writer when I was in high school or college. It wasn't until after I had graduated from college that I started thinking about a career in writing. And I came into it kind of by accident. But, you know, it's been an incredible journey. It's been one in which I've discovered that a lot of what I have to say is looking at my family history and looking at the history of the people around me, the people of the city of Los Angeles, and not just Latino people, you know. This is a city of diasporas, of many, many journeys that have come here to this place. So, it's been a great, great journey, a lot of ups and downs, you know, like anything. You know, anytime you have a profession, there are ups and downs, but it's been extremely rewarding.
I was sharing this bit with the team that I haven't been moved by a piece of writing since maybe 2016, when someone wrote for the Washington Post an essay about the Pulse shooting. They married grief, they married Latinidad, they married queerness. And when I was reading bits of your book, it felt like you're talking to me, someone who may have the label undocumented or DACA, I have DACA, but who mingles with Black communities in Los Angeles, who like eats at Korean spots, who understands, like you talked about, the diaspora. So for me, as a 30-year-old something journalist, seeing your work and you trying to encompass that, yo, we're more complex as a community, and we have so much within Latinidad, was like, I feel seen.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. You know, I just think that the way we live now, you know, like you're describing, that we have all these contacts with each other, that we're figuring out our identities, you know, that's the way people have always lived. You know, that then that's the way the United States has always been built. It's been built by people coming here, by feeling sometimes marginalized or hated. And it's just, you know, I am so lucky to be a college professor and to teach 20-something students, because I ask them to write stories for me. And I learn something new all the time, you know? I mean, I did not grow up saying la neta, you know, which means like, you know, lo máximo or whatever, or truth. It means truth.
Realness.
And, yeah, realness. Yes, thank you. And so many things. I did not grow up saying paisa. You know, I did not. And so to hear my students telling me the story of what LA is and what it's becoming, that is so cool. And LA is that, what you're describing, is this place of these crazy encounters. I was very lucky as a parent. My third child, my daughter, came out when she was 15, 16 years old. And so she opened up a whole other world to me. She taught me to see the world differently. You know, she taught me how to see the contributions, the richness, the critique that gay and lesbian people have of culture, right? Of American culture, of patriarchal culture. And so all of those things have been, I just feel very fortunate to be around young people, especially, who always have something new to teach me.
For someone who wants to become a writer or a book author, maybe even a journalist, you know, like in our career paths, what would you tell them?
I think it's really important to believe that what you have to say is important, or that you have something to say that nobody else can say. And that's true, you know, because we're all a product of all these different people and different influences and the times that we grow up in. And I think that you need to, you know, if you've lived something that involves joy, love, pain, trauma, surprise, whatever, that is a story that needs to be told. So I would say that first and foremost to any person who wants to be a writer is believe in what you have to say. Second, respect the craft. Study it. Learn from the traditions of whatever craft it is you're writing. And read as widely as you can. You know, soak in the world. Because everything you read makes you stronger. All the tradition you soak in makes you stronger. And third, don't be afraid to fail. You know, don't think of it as something that is a straight line where you're always successful. Embrace, you know, that sometimes you're going to fail. And just keep going, because it's being persistent. That's what makes a writer, is being persistent and stubborn. Yeah.
One more LA question for you.
Yes.
What sets this city? You've traveled and worked in different areas, you know, cities. What sets this city apart from all the others you've been in, worked in?
Wow. Well, first of all, when I was growing up, I would say that LA's optimism and its diversity set it apart, the wealth of that time. Now, as I've gotten older, LA's become a little bit more unequal. You know, now we're the capital city of homelessness in the United States. And that, to me, really sets it apart. When I look at the large unhoused population in this city, I think, is that the city's future? Are one day most of us going to live like that, and they'll be the last elite? And so, despite that, people are really strong and resilient in this town. there's a lot of hardship, and there's a lot of people fighting, and a lot of people working really hard, and a lot of people who are generous, and, you know, and generous in their struggle, generous in their vision for the city. You know, this is a great place still to raise kids. You know, there's so much possibility. A girl born, a Latina girl born in L.A., you know, in the 2020s, she can dream of being almost anything she wants, you know. At the same time, she's going to face a lot of, you know, obstacles. So I would say L.A. is a place of struggle-itude. And that makes it, and also a place of opportunity. Community college system, night classes. I became a writer taking classes at UCLA Extension at night, you know. And so this is a city of opportunities and struggle, and I think it's pretty unique in that way.
Hector, thank you so much for your time. I look up to you, I admire your work. It's amazing. Again, being a kid, reading the LA Times daily for school assignments and knowing about your work, being at the paper and then moving on from there, now being here in this chair interviewing you is such an honor.
An honor to me to be interviewed by a citizen of Los Angeles and someone who has given so much to the city. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hector.
Thank you.
That was Hector Tobar, journalist and author of several books. His most recent is Our Migrant Souls. In the next episode of How to LA, you can hear my conversation with author Michael Arsenault. His latest book is titled, I Finally Bought Some Jordans. And I'll talk with Amy Price about the memoir she's written about working at the infamous Cecil Hotel in downtown LA. Make sure you stay tuned for that. I'll catch you next time. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.